Now, just want to catch up on some of the messages that have been coming in to us. Mary says, good morning, Owen, and all the team at KFM. Regarding public toilets, it's very difficult to maintain them. You worked in a particular store in Newbridge, and on several occasions, the fitting rooms were used as a toilet, you say. Well, that's disgraceful. And the curtains were used as toilet paper. Staff have to clean up after these people. Also, I had to use the toilet at a train station in the county a few years ago, and the ladies was such a mess I had to use the men's toilet. So I can't blame anyone for not opening their facilities. It's the people who have to clean up after them that I feel sorry for. Thanks for the programme, I love it, says Mary. Well, that is disgraceful. There's no excuses for that, Mary, whatsoever. The argument that's being made is for people who genuinely have to use public toilets. Those who might have a medical condition, those who are in an older age cohort, maybe those who have special needs. You know, people who genuinely have to use public toilets, they should be opened for them. But for those who go in and make a mess of toilets, that's disgraceful. No excuse for that whatsoever. But thanks indeed for the message, and keep them coming in to us. AIM2 leader and TD for Meath West, Pádraig Tobin, is on the line. Good morning, Pádraig.
Good morning to you.
Where to start, Pádraig, because there's so much to talk about. We'll get to the eviction ban being lifted in a moment and your views on that. Also, more than 80 people receiving write-downs for over €1 million in deals with AIB. But I want to get to figures that we saw yesterday, Freedom of Information figures, showing that 4,600 deportation orders were issued to people whose application for asylum was rejected between 2018 and last year. The figures show that Gardaí enforced 314 of the orders, which makes up around 7%. But figures then that were released via a parliamentary question from yourself, Pádraig, showed that the Department of Justice assisted another 430 people to self-deport in that time frame. So essentially, that means that 3,887 asylum seekers who are issued with deportation orders have an unknown status in Ireland. What's going on?
Yeah, so I, most people want to help those who are in need. So there is a kind of, most people want to be the Good Samaritan. So if people are coming from violence or from war, you know, or from famine, that we have some kind of system to give them safe harbour here for a period of time. But the problem is we have a really broken asylum process system. We have a system that is designed to differentiate between those who actually do need help and those who don't. And in the last 5 years, as you said, you know, the system has said that 4,600 don't need help and therefore are not asylum seekers. They're not coming from a war zone or a violent location. And incredibly, when the government issued deportation orders to those people, and a deportation order is an order to leave the country, and the government doesn't enforce them and doesn't know if they're being fulfilled.
Right, so essentially that means if you have somebody here and they're given a deportation order, the government say, will you leave the country, and that's it, they move on. They don't check up, follow up on it, make sure that that happens or whatever. So
exactly.
The person could rip that up and throw it in the bin.
So in other words, it's a voluntary system. It's an incredible situation. And it means that in practical terms, whether you fail the asylum application system or you are successful, the outcome is the same. You get to stay in the country. Now, the governments have you know, no checks at the borders to see are people leaving. If you go through the airports or the ferry terminals, they don't know whether you have left, and therefore they don't know if the system is working. They've only actually enforced 314 out of the 4,600 deportation orders in the last 5 years. And, you know, this is a serious issue because, first of all, there are 14,000 people currently waiting for their first application to be processed in the first place. It's taken about a year and a half for that to happen. And we know that we're under phenomenal pressure in terms of accommodation. So another parliamentary question answered that I got recently showed that 300 asylum seekers are now homeless And if they're homeless, the local authority has a responsibility to put them in emergency accommodation. And we know in counties like my own that there's no local authority emergency accommodation for anybody, be they Irish people or newcomers. So there's a serious crisis. We also know that the government are putting asylum seekers into tents at the moment in the middle of winter, in really cold numbers. So we have a crisis in terms of accommodation, and yet we have an asylum process that can't differentiate between those who need it and those who don't in terms of outcomes.
That leads then to anger among communities, which we've seen. And, you know, there's nearly 80,000 refugees and asylum seekers living in state accommodation here in Ireland. We know those that are fleeing war from Ukraine and fleeing wars from other countries. But if other people are slipping under the cracks, those that don't genuinely need asylum, then, you know, questions are being raised there.
Yeah, AIMTO is about common sense, and we believe that if we're going to have a fair system, a system that people can buy into, it needs to be fair and just towards those people who are making the applications. And, you know, there's enormous pressure on accommodation throughout the country, and unfortunately the government, they have no political will to try and fix this at all. They are allowing this to happen, and it does create stresses in communities. So the best way to make sure people can buy into the process 100% is for people to be confident that it's actually working. You know, it's costing $18,000 a year to provide accommodation for an asylum seeker in this country. And yet we have people who are waiting. There's one person waiting 14 years for their first application to be processed properly. It's like the system is incredibly broken at all levels. You know, even the numbers of people coming into the country without documents or on false documents, the government doesn't know that figure. We know that 60% of people who are coming through Dublin Airport are coming through without documents or on false documents. But we don't know, the government doesn't know what it is in the rest of the airports or the ferry terminals. And, you know, again, it's really important to say we do want to help people who are suffering from war, from violence and from famine. We do want to be the Good Samaritan, but we want the system to be manageable, to be effective, to be able to differentiate between those who need help and those who don't.
Okay, let's expand the conversation then in terms of housing. Padder, the eviction ban is going to be lifted. The government voted on that last night. You obviously voted in favour with the Sinn Féin motion, or you were on that side of it with opposition about keeping the eviction ban in place. What's your views?
Yeah, so the key issue here, and take my own county for example, there's 127 eviction notices currently in place in my own county. And there are 31...
That's Meath, by the way.
In Meath, yeah, sorry. Yes, there are 31 houses for rent in the whole county, and there's zero emergency accommodation available from the local authority. So those figures don't add up. You can't have a system where 127 families are going to be evicted and tell them there's only 31 houses available for the whole audience, and if you can't get a house, we can't put you up. So that means people are going to go either into box rooms, couches, or they're going to be showing up at Garda stations. And actually, under TUSLA regulation, if you have children, you have to go to a Garda station if you're homeless. And, you know, I've been speaking to Gardaí. They say that they're not equipped to deal with families who are homeless. So AIMTO put in a motion yesterday. The motion was very, very simple. It calls for, you know, an eviction ban to proceed just for the rest of this year. And if a family has a person with a disability in it, if a family has a person with a terminal illness or a cancer diagnosis, or if a family has a pregnant mother or a child under the age of 3, or if a family has a pensioner in it, because we know that these are very vulnerable categories of people.
Okay.
And yet Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens voted against that amendment to provide just that safety net for those people in those vulnerable categories last night. Now, we're not saying that the eviction ban has to remain in perpetuity, but we're saying that you need to have alternatives for people if you're going to get rid of it. And the government haven't provided those alternatives. And what we're going to see is the numbers of homeless people rocket in the next month.
Okay, were you surprised and disappointed with the independents?
Listen, I think, yeah, there's, you know, each TD has to take responsibility for their actions. Each TD has to know that their vote can actually determine the life outcomes of an individual. You know, I know for a fact that there are children who spent their third St. Patrick's Day in a hotel room in an emergency accommodation this year. Like, and one of the really frustrating things, I mentioned that there are 1,200 houses for rent in the whole state. There are 22,000 Airbnb rentals available. We have this ludicrous situation where tourists are staying in homes and families are staying in hotel rooms. You know, another AIM2 bill that's there, we're asking the government to support it, would actually would stop for 3 years Airbnb in big towns and cities across the country. It would allow it to happen in tourist areas, rural areas, but in big towns and cities where there's a real pressure on housing, we would like to see that amendment passed.
All right, Labour are tabling a motion of no confidence in the government. I'm assuming yourself at AIM2 will be supporting that.
Yeah, well, we have no choice. You can't have confidence in a government in terms of the key issues that are affecting people at the moment. You know, we have record housing waiting lists. We have record rents. We have record homelessness at the moment. We also have record hospital waiting lists. The waiting times in A&E are at record levels. And the government don't have the political will to resolve it. They don't have the competency issues. And that's a key issue. You know, we have a political class of people who have never worked. Many of them have never worked in a real job outside of politics in their lives. They don't have strong political or strong practical experience, common sense experience in work or in business. And I believe, you know, many of them don't have the ideological compass either to fight against the civil service. And, you know, one of the things that's never really discussed here is the fact that the civil service make a lot of the decisions. We need politicians to be accountable for the decisions that they make. And currently, the government has not been held to account. And one of the only ways you can do that is through a motion of no confidence in the Dáil.
Finally then, Padder, more figures that you received yesterday was in relation to AIB writing down debts of over €1 million for 83 customers. What's this about and what's your view?
Yeah, so people may have remembered there a couple of weeks ago there was a big furore about the massive write-down that DJ Carey experienced from AIB. And people remember that AIB were a majority-owned state bank because of the whole crash. The government plowed billions of euros of taxpayers' money into the bank. So people were very frustrated because they saw the contrast between many, many people who are bursting themselves to pay their mortgage, many people who are getting massive pressure from banks. You know, I know people who have cut back on things like even health insurance so they can make sure that they meet their mortgage repayment. And most people don't get any help at all from the banks in terms of mortgage distress. Some people may get the extension, the term of the loan extended. Some people may get a break or for a lower repayment for a year or two. You know, but what the information that I received back and what the Finance Committee received back yesterday showed that 83 people received write-downs of more than €1 million, and that those write-downs were 90% of their loan values. And I think that's extraordinary.
Okay, and the bank will maintain they don't do special deals for special people.
Yeah, and you know, it's our job in the Finance Committee to hold the banks to account. So what we're just asking for the banks to do is to provide details and clarity in an anonymized fashion as to the circumstances of these individuals, because we do have to, you know, realise that there are occasions in society, in this country, unfortunately, that who you know determines what happens to you, and the power or the influence that you have determines what happens to you. And we need to ensure that especially banks that have had massive public funds ploughed into them are delivering their debt, forgiveness in a fair and honest manner.
Okay, that's AIM2 leader and TD for Meath West, Padder Tobin, with those range of issues. Thanks for joining us, Padder. Good morning. Coming up shortly, we'll have our latest HICWA inspection report. We're looking at Ashley Lodge Nursing Home in Kildare Town. And then you might want to listen out to see what horse your GAA club is going to be paired up with for a race at the Curra Racecourse over the weekend. Stay tuned.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KSM.
Now, if you've been tuned in to the show all week, you'll know that following recent reports regarding a negative HICWA inspection report on a Dublin nursing home here at KFM, we decided to have a look at recent HICWA inspection reports on Kildare nursing homes. Five such reports have been published so far this year. On Monday, we looked at Moyglare Nursing Home in Maynooth. On Tuesday, Oghill Nursing Home in Monastrevin. Yesterday, Hazel Hall Nursing Home in Clane. Today, we're looking at Ashley Lodge Nursing Home in Kildare Town, and then tomorrow Craddock House Nursing Home in Naas. So if we take a look then on the HICWA website and this report, the inspection was carried out at Ashley Lodge Nursing Home, the provider Ashley Lodge Nursing Home Limited, located out at Tully East in Kildare Town, and the inspection was on the 22nd of November last year but only published this year. It's a single story purpose built centre situated on the outskirts of Kildare Town. The centre can accommodate 55 residents, and the number of residents that were there on the date of inspection was 51, both male and female, for long-term and short-term stays. Care can be provided for adults over the age of 18 years, but primarily for adults over the age of 65. 24-hour nursing care is provided. Residence accommodation is arranged over three wings which meet at the reception and communal rooms. Residence bathroom accommodation comprises 41 single and 7 twin bedrooms. The majority have ensuite facilities. Communal accommodation includes a sitting room, a dining room, a sunroom and a visitor's room. So Caoimhe Harney is with us in studio again. And Caoimhe, if we just go down quickly, this is a largely positive report by HICWA here on Ashley Lodge Nursing Home. You might go down through some of the findings.
Yeah, so the following findings of following regulations own were all compliant. So staffing was compliant, training and staff development were compliant, governance and management, contract for the provision of services, complaints, procedures, individual assessment and care plan, health care, protection and residence rights. And there was just one then that was substantially compliant own, which was fire precautions.
Okay, so let's go into a little bit more detail then on what was found when this inspection was carried out, Caoimhe, according to the report, and starting off with Regulation 15 and staffing.
So staffing was found to be sufficient to meet the assessed needs of the residents living in the centre on the day of inspection. There was at least one registered nurse on duty at all times.
Again, all of these are compliant, by the way. So Regulation 16, training and staff development. The inspector reviewed staff training records, which showed that mandatory training was up to date for all staff working in the centre, and that refresher training dates were appropriately scheduled. There was a formal induction programme in place for new staff, and performance appraisals were completed annually with staff.
So governance and management, the designated centre had sufficient resources to ensure the effective delivery of care in accordance with the statement of purpose. The annual review of the centre was made available to the inspector, which was developed in consultation with the residents. Residents had completed and submitted questionnaires relating to the service that was being provided to them, and any suggested changes were welcomed on.
Regulation 24 on Ashley Lodge Nursing Home, contract for the provision of services. The registered provider had a contract for the provision of service made available to each resident on admission as required by the regulations.
Then in complaints and procedures zone, the registered provider had an accessible and effective complaints procedure, which included an appeals process. This procedure was clearly displayed in the centre in a visible place.
Now, fire precautions is the only finding that was substantially compliant. So there were areas of concern regarding the containment of fire in the centre. Action was required to comply with the requirements of the regulations and to ensure residents and staff were adequately protected from the risk of fire. For example, gaps were visible in two-bedroom doors. More than five-bedroom doors observed on the day were not closing fully. In addition, the door to the sluice room also did not close. So in response, what did the nursing home say to that?
Outline how you are going to come into compliance with Regulation 28 own fire precautions. 15 fire doors will be replaced by the end of quarter one. So by the end of this quarter own, this will include the room door. Actions will be completed by the 30th of March, so very soon, next week.
Okay, individual assessment and care plan regulation 5. Residents had a comprehensive assessment completed on admission. There were resident-specific care plans in place to guide practice. And these final three then, Caoimhe, that will go through, they were also compliant here, starting off with regulation 6 and healthcare.
So the inspector found that residents had access to appropriate medical and allied healthcare support to meet their needs. Records showed that residents had access to medical treatment and appropriate expertise in line with their assessed needs, which included access to expertise in gerontology, psychiatry of later life and palliative services as required.
Okay, regulation 8, protection safeguarding training was made available to all staff. The training matrix viewed by the inspector showed that all staff had attended this training in line with the centre's policy at Ashley Lodge Nursing Home. The report here says that staff spoken with on the day of the inspection were aware of what abuse is and what they would do if they witnessed or suspected such an incident. And finally then, regulation 9, residents' rights.
Yeah, the centre had a good selection of activities for the residents' own. The activities board was displayed with both written and a photographic description of events happening in the centre. All residents had access to a television in their bedroom and also in the sitting room. Wi-Fi was available for residents to access free of charge, and then the residents had access to the residents' committee and also an external advocacy service own.
Okay, and of course this is a matter of public record. You can view the inspection reports entirely on www.hicwa.ie. We have our final report tomorrow looking into the inspection report at Craddock House Nursing Home in Naas. Thanks for that, Caoimhe.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the show. Keep your messages coming in on 0833 97 97 97. Now, we're joined in studio by Tara Buick, Events and Communications Executive at the Curra Racecourse, because we're going to be making a draw for one of the races at the Curra this weekend and matching up GAA clubs here in Kildare with a horse. Tara, good morning and thanks for coming in to us.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks for having me back here. It's been a while.
It has, absolutely. I remember the last time we did it, it was very successful, where we were drawing horses out with pubs around Kildare.
That's it, exactly. And it went down really well, actually. We had a brilliant turnout of all the supporters from the pubs, and it went really well. It was brilliant.
So this weekend, what race are we looking at here, and what's the purpose of matching clubs with the horses?
So again, it's really our objective is to involve the community as much as possible when with the Curra. The race we've chosen this time is the Paddy Power Irish Lincolnshire. It's at 3:25 on Saturday. And we have 33 clubs in the local area who have gotten involved to take part. So we have 27 runners, and what we'll do is we'll draw as many as we can to fit the 27 horses, 27 clubs, and then there will be a consolation race for anyone else who doesn't make the 27.
Right, okay. So I have a job here of taking out the horses,
yep.
And you're going to match up the clubs, is it?
Exactly.
And I know Lauren Murta is here as well. We make sure Milltown is the 100-1 outsider. But let's start looking at these then. We'll fly through them. 27
Perfect.
Runners, first of all, and then there's a consolation race for the outstanding ones. So listen out exactly. And see how your club fares here. So the first horse out is number 24, Latham, and that's trained by William Haggis.
Oh, that's one of the overseas runners. That's brilliant. So this is Eadstown, who is going with Latham.
Okay, that's Caoimhe Harney's club, Eadstown out there. She'll be listening to find out there. Number 24, Latham. Then we have Eastern Wind is the next horse out, trained by Tom McCourt.
And I've chosen Moorfield.
Moorfield, okay. So that's the horse that Moorfield are with. Then we have Salt on Stall by Aidan McGuinness, trained by Aidan McGuinness.
And Ballyteague pulls that one.
Ballyteague, have lots of family out in Ballyteague as well. All the Herberts and Gilligans and Ennises out there. Then we have Good Heavens, Joseph O'Brien trained.
Joseph is actually up at the Curra today with some horses on the gallops. We have Kappa.
Kappa getting that horse there. So next horse out is Comfort Line, another Aidan McGuinness trained horse.
And Milltown.
Milltown, Do we know what the odds are there? Hopefully 100 to 1 for, for Milltown. Maud Gone Spirit then. Jessica Harrington, of course, the moon trainer.
And Straffan.
Straffan GAA connected with that horse. Next horse out then we have is Cordwan, another Aidan McGuinness horse.
And they, Klaharinka.
Klaharinka getting Cordwan there, trained by Aidan McGuinness. We also have then San Air, trained by Tom Mullins.
Suncroft.
Suncroft getting San Air. Next horse out is Casanova by Aidan McGuinness again. A lot of runners here.
A lot of runners from Aidan McGuinness. Kildangan have chosen that one.
Kildangan paired up with Casanova. Next out we have Fastnet Crown, trained by Michael O'Callaghan.
And Ballykelly.
Ballykelly outside Monastrevan there, getting teamed up with that horse. Finans Bay, Aidan McGuinness again.
Broadford Hurling.
Broadford Hurling Club as well. So a lot of people who would play football with Klaharinko would play hurling with Broadford. So they might have a double chance there. Cosmic Vega is next out. Mick Halford and Tracy Collins.
And that's the new partnership coming to play. So that's Rathangan have got them.
Rathangan getting paired up with that horse. Michael O'Callaghan out again with I Am Superman.
So I Am Superman carries the top weight for this race. And Ryan Towers LGFA.
Brown Towers LGFA getting paired up there. Charles O'Brien is next out with his horse Big Gossie,
who won at the Curragh actually last year. Monastrevan.
Monastrevan there with Big Gossie. So the next horse out is Celtic Crown. Again, this is trained by Aidan McGuinness.
Cara.
Cara GAA with Aidan McGuinness's horse there. Johnny Murta's then Miss Mirabelle is out next.
And Johnny has three horses in the race and actually won the race last year.
Right.
So Athgarvan have one of his horses.
Athgarvan GAA paired up there with Johnny's horse. Noel Mead trained Joe Masseria is next out.
And Kilcullen have been paired with that.
Kilcullen GAA. Then we have another Aidan McGuinness horse here. No More Porter.
St. Kevin's.
St. Kevin's getting paired up there. Gavin Cromwell trained Dola, I think is the pronunciation there in Irish.
Round Towers GAA.
Round Towers GAA. So two teams coming on board from Round Towers, the LGFA and the GAA. Current Option, trained by Aidan McGuinness, is the next one out.
He's taking up a lot of stalls, isn't he Aidan McGuinness? Klain have pulled out.
Klain have pulled out the horse there. Aidan McGuinness again is out next with Star Harbour.
Sarsfields.
Sarsfields GAA. How many horses have we got at the moment? We must be near the 27, I'd say, are we? Possibly. Next out is the next horse, Johnny Murta trained Mashur.
That's Rath Coffee.
Rath Coffee getting Rashur there. Then we have the next one is another Johnny Murta trained Carry the One.
Alan Wood.
Alan Wood getting pulled out there. We have Emporio by trained by Dunica O'Brien.
Raheen's.
Raheen's GAA, and can we extend the condolences again to May Campbell's family, May passing away at the age of 97, the president there of Raheen's GAA. Next out, Mick Halford and Tracy Collins trained Inch Turk.
Broadford Camogie.
Broadford Camogie. Then we have another overseas horse here, Totally Charming, the George Bohey trained Totally Charming.
Brilliant, so that's the second of our overseas runners. Maynooth.
Maynooth there. Andrew McNamara trained Lay Laps is the next horse out,
which goes to Nace,
and that is the final horse that I have here in the box.
So the remaining clubs that haven't been named, they will be given a place in the consolation race later in the day, and so we'll contact them to let them know which horses they've drawn for that.
Perfect. Okie dokie. So I'm sure that'll be up on social media as well then, if people maybe want to see who they've been teamed up with, what club has been teamed up with what on that, will they?
Absolutely. And we have another feature race in the day, just to mention that. It's the Group 3 Lodge Park Stud Park Express Stakes. So that's another big race with two big races. And then Nace will have racing on the Sunday as well. Right. So it's a great weekend. It's the first weekend back for the flat season. And we can't wait to welcome everyone back.
Right, okay. And yeah, there's going to be so much happening over the course of the weekend. Can you tell us a little bit more about the highlights?
So we've got family entertainment. I think something thing that people don't realise, actually, it's just getting the message out, is under 18s go free for all of our fixtures.
Okay.
And we also have free shuttle bus services between Kildare and Newbridge. They go to the stations and to the towns. So it's good, great for those who want to leave their cars at home and, you know, have a, enjoy their day out. There's superb racing, and I think everyone's just in great form and really excited to get the flat back and going again.
Indeed. Well, listen, we're going to give away two pairs of tickets for the Curragh on Saturday as a prize here on Kildare Today. So we've about 10 minutes left on the show. If you want to text in and be in with a chance of winning a pair of tickets to the Curragh, just send the word Curragh, your name and where you're from, to 0833 97 97 97. Going to be a fantastic day out, and it's great to see the flat back as well. So thanks indeed to Tara Buick, Events and Communications Executive at the Curragh Racecourse. And again, you can find out what horse your GAA club has been teamed up with there on social media. So two pairs of tickets to give away here on the programme. We'll announce the winners very, very shortly. Text the word Curragh, your name and where you're from, to 0833 97 97 97. We're going to go to local issues now, and the Athy Municipal District, where on the line is Labour Councillor Mark Lee. Mark, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Morning, Owen.
Some of the issues that you've been raising with the council, Mark, local issues there down around the Athy area, and already the messages are flying in here for our competition. But can you update us on upgrade works for Kilmeade Village, Mark? Did you get a response from the council?
It did, yeah. This is one of the first major projects that was proposed when I became a councillor in 2020, so it's kind of on the go for 3 years at this stage now, Owen. We have the design and the funding there, and there was a lot of recent issues with parking up of footpaths and in pedestrian and bicycle areas, which is not suitable for the students coming in and out of St. Edith, so I tried to rush it along a little bit. I have asked for it to be done by the start of the next school year, 23-24, and the engineer says he will definitely look at it as a priority.
Okay, also then, the council, you wanted them to upgrade footpaths, road surfaces and back lanes in St. Dominic's Park in Athy. What response did you get there, Mark?
I got a good response to the back lanes part anyway, Owen. There's a new estate there, Woodstock Way, a respond estate there for social housing, and it just comes up against the back of St. Dominic's Park. And the lanes haven't been done in a few years, and the electricity, ESB were obviously putting in new electricity cabling and all. So the council were waiting for all that work to be done. And in the next few weeks, the lanes will be resurfaced and the walls will be built up, etc. More on the road surface coming in, and the footpaths, we'll have to look at LPT funding, I think, for that, to see is there anything in the fund from the area engineer. The road surface in particular, all hasn't been touched since the estate was built in 1964. It looks like it's holding up well, in fairness, but it does need a bit of TLC.
Okay, then retrofitting, Mark, you wanted the council to provide the number of social houses that have been retrofitted in the Athy Municipal District. Did you get that?
Oh, did, yeah. This is part of the just transition thing from the government in retrofitting houses with heat pumps and insulation. We only have 37 houses done in the Athy Municipal District at the moment. Owen, I did ask that we start to look at improving the figures and try and get it into three figures by the end of the year, over 100 by the end of this year. Just because, listen, by the time 2030 comes, we have to have all this done with the Just Transition Scheme on. And, you know, it's only 7 years away, and there is a good few social houses to be done in South Kildare, so we need to get moving.
Okay, good stuff. And finally then, Mark, you had a joint motion with Councillor Ivan Keatley that the members of the Athy Municipal District allocate a portion of residual local property tax budget to help with the repair of the sewage system in Moon.
Yeah, this is in relation to six houses in Moon. We were at a public meeting there recently on over a number of infrastructural issues in Moon Village that we're looking to get done. I'm sure we'll hear more about the majority of that in the next few weeks. But in relation to this issue, this is one that came to the top of the agenda, and Councillor Keatley, in fairness to him, came to the top of both of our agendas, and we decided at the meeting that we'd try and pull it to the top of the agenda to try and get this fixed. So there's a septic tank in one of the estates that was built maybe 20, 25 years ago in the good times, I suppose you call it, that's leaking out onto the footpath and the road, and it's just not acceptable in this day and age that's happening. People are trying to walk up and down the road, and given that a wide berth. So we decided we'd try and get it sorted. And in fairness to Development Control, I heard Aoife mention them yesterday, they're a great new department in Kildare County Council. They have been very proactive with us. They decided that they were going to fix it, even though it's not a council issue, but they would need a little bit of funding from ourselves. And in fairness to all councillors in the MD, it was the unanimous decision to get the €15,000 towards this project. The project's costing €36,000 overall, just for information.
All right, that's Labour Councillor Mark Lee on the Athy Municipal District with those local issues. Thanks for joining us, Mark.